I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 8. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me.
Can't tell you how much of a joy it is to see all these children here this morning. I know some of you probably think I'm not a child, but I know that you're younger than me, so you're a child. You know, right around year 2000, Tim McGraw came out with a song that stayed top of the charts for a long time. The title of it was Live Like You Were Dying. And in the beginning of it, he spent the day looking at the x-rays. Of course, that created doubts. And so he was asking the doctor, what would you do when you get this kind of news? The doctor went on to say that he would ride a bull named Fu Manchu. He would go skydiving. None of those things I would ever do if I was dying. Why hasten it? But the things that he did say that really connected was to forgive where forgiveness was been denied, to love deeper. I think Paul, in his life and everything that he went through, he rode his bulls named Fu Manchu, and he did his skydiving. But he was given an x-ray that he didn't particularly care for. This thorn in the flesh. There are many out there who have tried to determine what that thorn was. It doesn't really matter. All we really need to be concerned with that it was debilitating and that it was of such an encumbrance to Paul that he was asking God to take it away. The agony that he must have been going through when this problem would arise had to be agonizing. There was nothing punitive about this illness. The torments that we face reside in our bodies, even though we may faithfully serve Christ. Here was a man who had forsaken everything in order to do the will of God. Now, we need to be mindful that this thorn was not all of Paul's hardships. He, if you read in 2 Corinthians 11, would see a tremendous list of hardships that just this one brother had went through. When I read him, I think of a soap opera. Because when you sit there and would watch a soap opera, you kind of wonder, how can all this happen to one family? And yet, here was Paul going through all these things. It would kind of make us want to not be a Paul if we had to endure all that he did. But endure he did. Because it reminds us that when it comes to having things to complain about, we would have a very hard time competing with him. But why this thorn? Why is it this one specific thing that distressed Paul more than anything else that he endured? He answers the question himself in verse 7, lest I be exalted above measure. In other words, it helped him stay grounded. You know, when you look in the very beginning of this chapter, you know, it helps give you a completeness of where Paul was going with this. He tells of a spiritual experience that he had to where he actually viewed paradise. And he saw things there that was beyond human description. And he reminds us that this thorn came so that he would not consume himself daily with living and reliving this experience, whereby he would exalt himself. Can you imagine if something like that happened to us and we might ourselves feel privileged that we were able to see things, something that no one else had able to see, and we would pat ourselves on the back that we were considered worthy enough to be given that honor? You know, typically when we do some good things or we do something that is one of a kind, we have a tendency to let it go to our heads. Maybe even allow our heads to get so big we have to grease the door to get out of the room. But that thorn that Paul had kept bringing him back to earth and reality. I venture to say that none of us will ever experience the things that Paul went through. But we may experience moments of great inspiration. Maybe kind of like a mountaintop experience, if you will. I'm not saying that poof, God said this to me. What I'm saying is that there's a moment where our eyes are open and we see something that puts us on top of the heap. But the sad tragedy of it is, most of the time we are living in a valley. We're not up on the mountaintop all the time. And we cannot afford the luxury of a daydreaming existence. We live among so many who are wrapped in anguish and suffering. And if we are to bear witness to Christ to them, we must also understand a little bit about what they go through. We need to remind them also, and we need to remind ourselves, that Christ does not deliver us from suffering. He doesn't deliver us from this first death that all will experience. The pains that we go through on a daily basis reminds us that we are just mere human beings. We get sick. We suffer. And yet someday we will die. And it all reminds us that life is very brief. You know, the scriptures often connect disease with Satan. Paul does here, in the sense that he states that God is able to use this thorn. A messenger of Satan is what he says. For a good purpose. To keep him face to face with reality. This thorn in our flesh, the things that we deal with on a daily basis, these things that we are trying to overcome, and maybe we will never overcome them. Maybe what we have might be terminal. It is a reminder and a call to keep daily our dependence to God. When we look at things in this light, our infirmities, our diseases can become a divine handicap for good. Who better to offer sympathy than those who have gone through the same thing? Who better to lift someone up that's been in a ditch for other than someone who had been in that ditch? You know, if it wouldn't have been for blindness, Fanny Crosby would have never have written probably Blessed Assurance, or Jesus, keep me near the cross, or to God be the glory. When you read Paul's letters, you need to reflect back on where they were written from. Most of them were written while he was in prison. And those that he wrote from prison probably gave us the deepest and most sincerest messages that we could attain. Because it is from there that it comes deep within the heart. That there is a sensitivity about what Paul was writing. There's a sensitivity about what others who have been through it can deliver to others. Paul was a human being, after all. And if I was to reflect myself, and if I was to say to myself, I'm just like Paul, I don't think I could even close to even come to measure up to his ankles or even his big toe. Because I would have probably cashed in the chips a long time ago if I was to endure what Paul went through. But Paul was human, and just like any other human being, Paul does not like pain. And he pleaded three times that whatever this affliction was, that he would be healed from it. But you know, sometimes, just as with Paul, we also need to come to the realization that sometimes healing is not God's will. The answer that Paul received was not a miracle, but a promise. A promise. And that promise extends to each and every one of us, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We can define God's grace in many ways. But in the context of our reading here in these verses here, it refers to the gift of his presence. God promises to sustain us if we let him. God doesn't always promise he's going to heal us. But he does promise to sustain us. This means that in times of our greatest weaknesses, we can experience possibly our greatest spiritual strength. In verses 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can you imagine anyone in your life who has ever been driven to that edge of despair by illness and has never seen God's grace in all its fullness? You know, when I think about these things, I think of my parents. And while they were tremendous human beings and a loving people and tremendous parents, they never fully realized God's glory. They never obeyed. They never obeyed. You know, can you imagine yourselves a soldier during World War I, and you're in the trenches, and for hours and hours and hours you've heard your artillery banging away at enemy positions? And then it stops. Fear didn't come as long as the guns were going off. Fear came when the guns stopped. Think about it for a moment. You're in your house. Think how many of us are afraid of thunder. That is our fear in a thunderstorm. A thunder is there and it scares us. What is there to be afraid about thunder? It is just noise. But it's the light flash before the thunder even gets there that should strike fear in our hearts. Years ago when I was stationed in Homestead, Florida, the Air Force in its infinite wisdom, and I know the purpose behind it, our firefighting gear was aluminized. We were a lightning rod. And we had, when we fought structure fires, we wore the same gear that we did when we fought the airplane fires. We never thought the insanity of it all. And I remember one of the many thunderstorms we faced, and we had an old alarm systems within our buildings, and when lightning would strike someplace, about 10, 15 buildings' alarm systems would go off. So we're running all around the base, and we're scattering people everywhere to check all these buildings, and myself and one other guy during this thunderstorm were walking over to this building. And we made it safe, and lightning was flashing everywhere. And if any of you have ever been in South Florida, it seems like every foot of ground there's a lightning strike. And we got in the building, we ran in there, and we came back out, and we're walking back to the truck. And about that time, a lightning bolt had hit maybe 15 feet from where we were at. And it knocked us down, but it didn't take us down long because we made a mad scramble. And we were stripping out of our gear and throwing our gear on the ground, hoping the next one would hit that piece of aluminum. Fear, my friends, oftentimes it drives us over the edge of despair when you think of those troops when the bombardment stops and their next order was over the top. And they went by the thousands to their death. Paul's thorn allowed him to do that which was contrary to his human nature. And he was able to look in favor of his own physical weakness. You know, most of those in our nation who won the Medal of Honor were not born heroes. The whole time they did their duty, they were shaking in their boots. We recognized them for what they did. But human nature would have said, I'm going the other way. Our faith is strengthened when it is tempered in the furnace of life's afflictions. And it is hammered out on the anvil of agony. You know, what happens to us in life is not nearly as important as the response that we make to it. You know, when you take a cut flower and you expose it to heat, what happens? It wilts. It wilts. But you take that same flower that's in a pot with its roots and you expose it to heat and you get it to heat, it grows. It grows. Paul in Romans 8 and verse 18, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." So everything that we are facing in life is nothing compared to what is coming. You know, what we allow in between us and God sometimes is just selfish ambition. And we allow that to get in the way of what God truly has in store for us. We face afflictions, we face trials, and we want sympathy. We want to be picked up and carried by a brother or a sister when God is carrying us all the time. You know, the world trains us to believe that happiness is only found in those things which glitter. But you know, oftentimes it is the thorn that succeeds in opening our eyes. And then we get to see the unnoticed glory that is all around us. Just as in that Tim McGraw song. The thorn is God's invitation to do graduate work in the school of prayer. Now, there was a man by the name of George Matheson, and I'll finish up with this. He was blind, and he wrote, "My God, I have never thanked you for my thorn. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn. I have been looking forward to the world where I shall get compensation for my cross. But I never thought of my cross as the present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have been my rainbow." If it is God's will that He has chosen to let you show the world how a Christian suffers pain, then hold close to your heart your vocation and thank Him for your thorn. There is a purpose in our lives that everybody around us is searching for. But God has already told us in His Word what that purpose is in our lives, to fear God and keep His commandments. And His command for all that reside in this world is to repent. To repent. And that is our desire this morning, if you're not a child of God, to obey that plan of salvation which God ordained and which His Son suffered, that we can retain and have that hope of heaven. You repent and confess this day before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are baptized for the remission of sins. God will add you to His church, and whatever thorns you have would just be a sideshow. That the glory that awaits you will overcome it all. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you've allowed the things and the pressures of this life to throw you out of kilter to the life that you know you should be living. We pray that you will take the time, if it is something personal between you and God, that you go to Him in prayer and ask for forgiveness. And if it's something that you need to do in a public way because it brought shame and reproach upon the church, then we pray that you will come forward also. If there's any that has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.